You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Document title, Vacation. Topic, A Well-Balanced Life. Vacation. As usual, I have been slacking around again. Okay, just kidding. I just did not have a clue where to go with this message. As happens every year, we take a little vacation from our studies and try to catch up on relaxation. But how does that truly work? I know that in the past, and in my youth, when the children were off from school for summer break, you took a vacation, went somewhere, and were charged more for everything during that time. When we lived in Utah, things changed. With so many children, there is no true summer vacation anymore. There is year-round school, and with four different tracks, the vacation times are truly staggered throughout the school year. The vacation resorts now have a year-round peak season. Also, of course, because of the abilities we have these days to travel and communicate. When we travel, we still have our laptops, tablets, phablets, iPhones, smartphones, Nooks, Kindles, Xbox, Flexbox, and you name it, with us. I hook my smartphone into my laptop, and voila, my portable office. Going to church? Oh, easy. We do not visit a guest church. No, just dial 661-something-something. Enter the participant's code. Number, so-and-so, hash, and there we are, in our own church, in the middle of the desert or the forest. Technology, wonderful, isn't it? My biggest struggle is coming back from vacation. Oh man, when I come back from vacation, I really dread going back to work. So tired, so wired up from all the activities and travel we have done. I truly need a vacation. Yes, I truly enjoyed myself last year traveling through 10, or was it 13, states, 3,000 plus miles, seeing the family, visiting new places, and seeing our son graduate from the military. But did we relax, sitting in the car for at least 6 hours a day and sleeping in strange beds? No, I do not think so. I love my in-laws. They are truly the best. But again, I love to hit my own bed. During the last couple of years, we have learned to calculate an extra day or two off just to get back into the rhythm of things again before going back to work. Isn't that really weird? We take a vacation, then we need a vacation from our vacation to be able to get back to work. I believe this is where we are getting to the point of it all. As people, we are driven and are not able to schedule and deal with our lives as we should. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 to 14, Common English Bible. There's a season for everything, and a time for every matter under the heavens. A time for giving birth, and a time for dying. A time for planting, and a time for uprooting what was planted. A time for killing, and a time for healing. A time for tearing down, and a time for building up. A time for crying, and a time for laughing. A time for mourning, and a time for dancing. A time for throwing stones, and a time for gathering stones, a time for embracing, and a time for avoiding embraces, a time for searching, and a time for losing, a time for keeping, and a time for throwing away, a time for tearing, and a time for repairing, a time for keeping silent, and a time for speaking, a time for loving, and a time for hating, a time for war, and a time for peace. What do workers gain from all their hard work? I have observed the task that God has given human beings. God has made everything fitting in its time, but has also placed eternity in their hearts, without enabling them to discover what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there's nothing better for them, but to enjoy themselves and do what's good while they live. Moreover, this is the gift of God, that all people should eat, drink, and enjoy the results of their hard work. I know that whatever God does will last forever. It's impossible to add to it or take away from it. God has done this so that people are reverent before Him. Verse 14 can also be translated in the following way: I know that whatever God does will last forever. It's impossible to add to it or take away from it, or to inspire awe before the divine. Is that it that we have lost? We must have a break from band rehearsal or from choir practice, because too many people are on vacation, and it would not make any sense to have a practice with so few. The kids are out of school, so we are flocking like the birds to the south, or, when you are in the south, to the north. In our church, we are just with a few. Our ministry is mostly done in such a way that we do not know where the message ends up or what ears are receiving it. Bible study. Do we need a break from it for a couple of weeks so that we can recoup? Or are we using that break to make sure we can get other business done in the same time slot? For me, it has been a strange idea, taking vacation from church. Indeed, when we travel, we log in, as we are able to, and participate in the studies and services. What would happen if we call upon His name and we hear it in our heads? Today is blah blah blah, and I'm sorry, but you have reached the office of Jehovah Rapha after regular working hours, and Elohim is at this moment on vacation. In an urgent situation, please leave us a message, and we will handle your requests in the order they are received after our return on August 12th, blah blah blah. In cases of truth, please turn to the book of Exodus, or press 2. In cases of law and sacrifice, turn to the book of Leviticus, or press 3. For all other cases, read more in the Bible, or pray back to us after August 12th. Blah blah blah. Enjoy your vacation. Beep. To be honest, of course I love vacation. Why? Because I like the change of scenery. I like different locations. I love to spend money like we have it. Oh no, that is not a good thing either. We cannot spend what we do not have. There is a time for searching, and a time for losing, a time for keeping, and a time for throwing away. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 6. So then, what about Jesus? We see a good example of how Jesus dealt with situations like this. When the news came in that John the Baptist was beheaded, they went to collect his body and bury him. Back with Jesus, they did not even have time to eat. So many people were flocking down to hear the great rabbi speak. Mark chapter 6, verse 30 to 32, Common English Bible. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him everything they had done and taught. Many people were coming and going, so there was no time to eat. He said to the apostles, "Come by yourselves to a secluded place and rest for a while." They departed in a boat by themselves for a deserted place. Jesus took time for all things in their time, a time and place for all things on this earth, and the things coming at us or after us. We read about Jesus taking time during the day to pray and taking the time to eat, and also taking time to rest. Luke chapter 5, verse 14 to 16, Complete Jewish Bible. Then Yeshua warned him not to tell anyone. Instead, as a testimony to the people, go straight to the Kohen and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moshe commanded. But the news about Yeshua kept spreading all the more, so that huge crowds would gather to listen and be healed of their sicknesses. However, he made a practice of withdrawing to remote places in order to pray. The term vacation, yeah, we will not find that in Scripture in the way we know it. This time of prayer we just read about was before Jesus was questioned by Perushim and Torah teachers, the scripture and legal teachers, or, as we also read it in the Amplified Bible, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come from every village and town of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. But Jesus is God, right? Yes. Then why did Jesus pray? There are at least three reasons that Jesus prayed. First, Jesus prayed as an example to his followers, and this is an example we still continue to learn from. Secondly, the incarnation of Jesus Christ consists of both his divine and his human nature. Looking at it from his human nature, it was perfectly natural for a Jewish believer, such as Christ, to pray. From his divine or godly nature, as part of the Trinity, it allows for communication between its members. As God the Son, Jesus could pray to God the Father and communicate through and with the Holy Spirit. Jesus also prayed for others, intercessory prayer, as we call it. In Matthew chapter 19, we read that little children are brought to Jesus, and the disciples were rather upset by all that was happening. Then it happened. Matthew chapter 19, verse 13 to 15, Common English Bible. Some people brought children to Jesus so that he would place his hands on them and pray. But the disciples scolded them. "Allow the children to come to me," Jesus said. "Don't forbid them, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to people like these children." Then he blessed the children and went away from there. He blessed the children and moved away from the crowd. Jesus taught the Talmudim, the disciples, to pray alone, in silence and solitude, as well as to pray together, as we read in Acts. Acts chapter 1, verse 13 to 14, Amplified Bible. "And when they had entered the city, they mounted the stairs to the upper room where they were indefinitely staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. All of these, with their minds in full agreement, devoted themselves steadfastly to prayer, waiting together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. It has happened many times that when I am in my bedroom in prayer, I just fall asleep. To be honest, I am not able to tell you whether I fell asleep because I was just so tired, or whether, while in prayer, the peace of God, Shalom, came over me in such a strong way. What I do know, and am willing to tell you, is that the greatest revelations and answers to my most difficult questions have been answered during or after times of prayer. So then, with our need for vacation, and a need for a vacation from vacation, do we still have time for God and God's Word? With your laptops, tablets, phablets, iPhones, smartphones, Nooks, Kindles, Xbox, Flexbox, and you name it. Have we packed our Bibles and our time for prayer? God has set aside for us a time of rest and a time of prayer and a time of just doing absolutely nothing. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 23 to 27, Common English Bible. "I will appoint for them a single shepherd, and he will feed them. My servant David will feed them. He will be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be their prince. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace for them, and I will banish the wild animals from the land. Then they will safely live in the desert and sleep in the forest. I will give them and those around my hill a blessing by sending the rain in its season. They will be rains of blessing. The trees in the field will bear fruit, and the earth will yield its harvest. They will be safe on their fertile land, and they will know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from those who enslave them. All with God is done with a time and a place for all things under the heavens. What we need to learn is to find back the rhythm of life with God. It is the rhythm of grace that will make the so-called need for a vacation disappear and provide us with a complete life, and each day will be satisfied and complete. The most important thing, we need to find the rhythm of grace, that time and place for all things under the heavens with God, is something we already know today. Indeed, God's peace, His shalom on our lives, balance, health, responsible living, fight and surrender, work and rest, plant and harvest, time to joke and time to be serious, time to give and time to receive, time to charge others and time to be charged. True balance. A balance even within our foods, carbohydrates and protein, starches, etc. A balance within work, sleep, worship. Oh, okay, now I am lost. Let us get back on track then. During the last few weeks, we had two messages on blessings and a message on faith or trust. We have learned how God's laws are not a burden, but a blessing that gives us health and prosperity. We have learned how, by having faith, trusting on and in Him, we will find true peace, God's shalom. The Ten Commandments, the basis of all our law and Torah law, are God's commandments, and with that, should be written on our heart. We see that they first start with honor to God, and the completion of it all in time of shalom. The praise and the worship to Him does not even fit within this time. Then, following this, are the commandments concerning honor and respect. All commandments are indeed important. All sin is indeed sin. But most of all, what we seem to be forgetting is our balance. 24 hours in a day. 8 of them we work, 8 of them we sleep, I hope. And what do we do with the other 8? We know from our studies that the number 7 is a very important number in the Bible, and in the Hebrew language, it resembles the number of completion. On the 7th day, God took rest. It is even specified in the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Shabbat day to set it apart for God. I do not believe, my friends, that this is our day of worship, because guess what? When it says that on it, you are not to do any kind of work, not you, your son or your daughter, not your male or female slave, not your livestock, and not the foreigner staying with you inside the gates to your property, you might not be working at this moment, but this foreigner within your gates is at work. I have been making a lot of jumps today. So again, I am letting you brew on this thought. And we go back again to the time and place for all things under the heavens and our normal day. As said, 8 hours of sleep. The number 8 is given to us because 8 is the number of healing. And with that, we can draw a lot of learning out of this time. 6 hours, scientists now agree, is the minimum time of sleep that we need in a day, and we scripturally agree with that too. It is the time that all the work was done. However, the 7th hour rounds it all off. Then we as people do need that important hour of healing, which comes to 8 hours of sleep. And this, my friends, is also what we see in the secular world. People sleep more than 8 hours, and they become unsatisfied and even lazy. 8 hours of work is what is expected from each and every one of us in every civilized country. We spend 9.5 hours at the office, but in that, we have 1 hour for lunch and 2 coffee or tea breaks. Then, with some travel, we still have about 7 hours left. 7 hours in which we have breakfast with our spouse and children at the start of the day and dinner in the middle. On the 7th day, we can also break this up and then say, on the seventh hour, we take time with God. Do you take 1 hour out of your day to pray and meditate on God's word? Oh, come on now. You do not have the time. You are too busy. What about that time on the potty? Minus. Private prayer. Prayer together with my spouse. Prayer with the children. Reading that book with godly teachings. Hey, on Wednesday, time to read pastor's notes. I can tell you, for me, that hour is not enough. Not by a long shot. But of course you say, you are the pastor. That is different. Okay, is it really? Balance. A time and a place for all things under the heavens. Like First Lady said, if we want to give the best for the highest, we need to give time to the highest. If we want to become better, to improve ourselves, we need to learn to listen. Listen to His words and grow. Obey His will and live. You remember, or maybe you know, how great and wonderful it is just to do nothing for a day. To read some, maybe watch a movie, listen to some music, have some leftovers or yesterday's takeout. Yeah, nice. That, my friends, is our Shabbat. And indeed, I also do some stuff around the house. Weed some or do other things. Those are all things that I do not need to do, but just want to do. Relaxed and enjoying myself. When we are tinkering, we relax, take rest. When, in that tinkering, we come to the point of, oh no, I need to have this, or I need to do that, or, then at that moment, it is not that point of rest and Shabbat anymore. At that moment, it became an I need to do this, or I need to do that. In our busy lives, and especially the way we live life, taking a Shabbat day is not easy. We truly need to relearn how to live. God shows us throughout His Word how we should live and how to live life. As we can read here in the book of Deuteronomy, we learn how to give to God, how to take a time to celebrate, or maybe you want to call it party, and how to tithe and give to those who have not. But watch one thing real close. The feasting, celebration, partying is done in a place in God's presence, which makes sure that there is no debauchery or drunkenness. It shows how to enjoy the blessing received and how to be a blessing to others, a time and place for all things under the heavens. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22 to 29, Amplified Bible. You shall surely tithe all the yield of your seed produced by your field each year, and you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place in which He will cause His name and presence to dwell, the tithe of your grain, your new wine, your oil, and the firstlings of your herd and your flock, that you may learn reverently to fear the Lord your God always. And if the distance is too long for you to carry your tithe, or the place where the Lord your God chooses to set His name and presence is too far away for you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall turn it into money and bind up the money in your hand, and shall go to the place of worship which the Lord your God has chosen. And you may spend that money for whatever your appetite craves, for oxen or sheep or new wine or stronger drink or whatever you desire, and you shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. And you shall not forsake or neglect the Levite in your towns, for he has been given no share or inheritance with you. At the end of every 3 years, you shall bring forth all the tithe of your increase the same year, and lay it up within your towns. And the Levite, because he has no part or inheritance with you, and the stranger or temporary resident, and the fatherless and the widow who are in your towns shall come and eat and be satisfied, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands that you do. A time to sow and reap, a time to work and rest a time to travel and be a guest, and a time to receive guests, a time to buy and a time to sell, a time to receive a blessing from the minister, and a time to be a blessing to the minister. Why all of this? And here it comes, so that Adonai your God will bless you in everything your hands produce. Living a life that is balanced and in the proportions as God has intended it for mankind will give rest. Hurry, 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 I need to get this done. I will catch up on sleep later. Is not how it works. Lost time is lost time. You will not be able to go back to it later and catch up. As Jesus is our example, we have learned from him how to pray a great and short, easy to memorize prayer with well-rounded and balanced thoughts. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 14, King James Version. After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus also knew how to set apart serious time for God. As we read in Luke, Jesus prayed all night before choosing. He called the Talmudim, disciples, and chose the 12 apostles. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 to 13, Amplified Bible. Now in those days, it occurred that he went up into a mountain to pray and spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he summoned his disciples and selected from them 12, whom he named apostles, special messengers. Beloved, rest is not the absence of activity. It is the presence of God in the midst of ordered life. Vacations, devices, schedules, even our best intentions can leave us empty if we have not first anchored our souls in him. The scriptures call us back to a cadence, a time for every matter under the heavens, so that work does not swallow worship and leisure does not replace prayer. When we submit our calendars to the King, the hours begin to heal us instead of hurry us. Jesus shows us the way. He withdrew to lonely places to pray, invited the weary to come aside and rest, and then returned to serve with power. This is the rhythm of grace, to receive, then to give, to listen, then to speak, to be blessed, then to bless. In that rhythm, we no longer need a vacation from our vacation, because our hearts learn to rest even while our hands labor. Let us then reclaim holy order. 8 hours of honest work, 8 hours of healing sleep, and the remaining hours shaped by devotion, table fellowship, and joyful simplicity. Let a weekly Shabbat re-educate our desires, feasting before the Lord, generosity to those in need, gratitude that displaces striving. In such habits, peace takes root and anxiety loses its grip. May the Lord teach us to number our days, to keep his appointments, and to delight in his presence. And as we walk in this balance, may our homes, our ministries, and our travels all testify that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. A time and place for everything, all things under the heavens. I want a better life. Do you want a better life? Start then, today. Rearrange your priorities and make time for God and worship in your daily life. Make time and set aside family time and a Shabbat for the Lord, together in honor, in love, and in obedience to God and to each other. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.